It's an honor to speak to you tonight, but I will tell you, today, this afternoon, I don't know how many times I looked at the clock. The closer it got to six, the more nervous I became. And about 5 o'clock, as I was getting ready to come to church, I stood up and I felt so weak. But as soon as I felt weak, I heard the words, "When I'm weak, when you're weak, I'm strong." And so tonight I ask you, please lift me up in prayer that this message will go out boldly. And let's bow our heads in word prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us an opportunity to come and just worship you. Lord, help us so that we'll learn from your word. Help me tonight so that you'll give me the wisdom to help and encourage our membership to rejoice in the trials. Lord, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have you ever had a day when it was going great, and then all of a sudden, within a few seconds, you got some bad news, and your day went from great to bad to worse? Has that ever happened to you? Well, I've got a short video clip. Just a few seconds I want you to check out. This guy was apparently having a pretty good day, but then he decided to help someone, and his day went from bad to worse. Let's watch it. And it does get worse. Have you ever had a day like that? Man, you may be going to work. Your tire has a blowout. You have a wreck. Maybe you go to work. Your boss wants to see you. You find out he just laid you off. Maybe you're sitting at the breakfast table enjoying that cup of coffee, and you get a text from a loved one. They've been diagnosed with a terminal illness. Or maybe they share with you a loved one has suddenly passed away. Folks, I want to ask you a question tonight. When we have those trials, and we will, how do you react? Tonight I want to talk to you about rejoicing in trials. Now, does Philippians 4:4 say, "Rejoice in the Lord always"? And again, I say rejoice. Yes, it does. We are to rejoice when things are going our way. But I understand our human nature is harder to rejoice when things go south in a hurry. But nevertheless, we're commanded to do that. When trials come our way, and they will, we need to remember 3 points. The first one is God wants us to worship, rejoice, and praise Him in our trials. What I want to do is turn to Job chapter 1. God's given us a perfect illustration of a man named Job. Job chapter 1, we're only going to read 3 verses, but I'm going to save time, sum up the chapter. In verse 6, the sons of God approach the Lord, and they present themselves to the Lord, and Satan comes with them. And the Lord says, "Satan, where did you come from?" And Satan said, "From roaming to and fro in the earth." And then the Lord said, "Have you noticed my servant Job? He's a righteous man. He shuns evil. There's none like him." And Satan said, "The only reason he does that is because you put a hedge around him. Everything he does, you've blessed. You've blessed the works of his hands, but if you remove that hedge, he'll curse you to your face." Well, I want to tell you, God said, "Listen, Satan, I'm going to allow you to do what you want to the things he has." Now, in chapter 1, he said, "Just don't touch Job." So, Satan started working, and within a short time, Job's life changed dramatically. There came a messenger to Job one day, and he said, "The Sabaeans came and stole 500 yoke of oxen while they were plowing. And they also sold 500 donkeys while they were feeding. And they took the sword and they killed all your servants. And I'm the only one that was able to escape. And I wanted to come tell you. Before he even finished, a second messenger came and said, Job, fire came down from heaven and burned up 7,000 sheep and burned up your servants. And I'm the only one that was able to escape. And I wanted to come and tell you. The Bible says while he was still speaking, the third messenger came. He said, Job, the Chaldeans came and stole 3,000 of your camels. They killed your servants with the sword, and I'm the only one that was able to escape. He said, I came to tell you this. Now I want us to pause a second. These three messengers told Job he lost his material possessions. Now how would you react if you lost your possessions? You know, material possessions can be replaced. But I want you to notice what happened with the fourth messenger. While the third messenger was speaking, the fourth messenger came. And he said, Job, your seven sons and three daughters were partying in the oldest son's house. And a great wind came from the wilderness. And that wind hit the house and it collapsed. And your 10 children are dead. And I am the only one that was able to escape to come tell you. Now I want to tell you, I've talked to a lot of people that have lost children, and I can't imagine what that's like. They say that is one of the hardest things they've ever gone through in their life. It's natural for a parent to bury their parents, but it's not natural for a parent to bury a child. And think of this, he didn't lose one, he didn't lose two. He lost all 10 of his children. Now I want us to look. Job chapter 1 verse 20. Look how he reacted to his trials. Then Job arose, tore his robe and shaved his head. And he fell down to the ground. And what? He worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. When trials come our way, and they will, God wants us to remember 3 points. God wants us to worship, rejoice, and praise Him in our trials. Second point is God wants us to remember people are watching. And with this example, I want us to go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. We're going to look at verse 16. So it's Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Now it's happened as we went to prayer. And this is Paul, Silas, and Timothy. They went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. Now let's look at some things here. Everywhere Paul and them were going to go, this slave girl was following them. She was possessed with an evil spirit. With this evil spirit, she was able to tell people's fortunes. And because of that, she made her masters bukus and bukus of money. Now, you know how much bukus and bukus money is? It's a lot. So, that's what we have. Look at verse 17. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. When they'd leave one place, they'd go somewhere else. And here she would follow. These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. They leave there. She follows them. These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. You get the idea, right? Look at the next verse. She didn't do this for one day. She didn't do it for 2 days. Scripture says And she did this for many days. Now, how do you think Paul felt? Scripture tells us. Next words. But Paul greatly annoyed. Have you ever been greatly annoyed? Parents, have you been greatly annoyed? I heard that amen, brother. Children, have your parents greatly annoyed you? Not as many, but a few, okay? I heard those amens as well. I know we may have a neighbor across the street or someone beside us that really annoys us. Maybe it's a relative. I'm going to share with you the time that I was most greatly annoyed was when I started working on staff at Victory Missionary Baptist Church and having to work with Michael Weatherford and Kelly Roach. I mean, my goodness, there's days I just have to shake my head and say, my mama told me there'd be days like this. You know, I got to tell you, I'm only, Sonia and Jackie, I'm only around your husbands a few days a week. I can't imagine what it's like 7 days a week. There's going to be a special reward in heaven for you. But listen, you get what I'm saying about being greatly annoyed. Paul was greatly annoyed, and look what he does. Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. Now, you know the masters were really excited, weren't they? They went to Paul and said, hey, way to go, man. This girl is going to have a normal life now. We're so glad you did that. Is that what they said? No. Let's read on, verse 19. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace of the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or to observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were moaning and groaning and complaining. Lord, why did this happen to us? Lord, if we hadn't have preached in your name, this wouldn't have happened. Our backs wouldn't be sore. Our shoulders and arms wouldn't be sore from the beatings. Is that what they did? Of course not. They rejoiced in their trials. And look what happens, verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were what? Listening to them. Remember our second point. God wants us to remember people are watching us. You know the story. There was an earthquake. The prison doors came open. The shackles came off. The Roman jailer thought the prisoners had escaped, took his sword, getting ready to take his own life. But Paul says, don't do that. We're all here. Look at verse 29. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. That night, that Roman jailer got saved. His household got saved. But I want to ask you a question. If they would have just been moaning and groaning, do you think it would have made the same impact upon the Roman jailer? I don't think so. We must always remember, the darker our storms, the brighter our lights have an opportunity to shine. Folks, I want to tell you, I don't care what we go through, whether it's a terminal illness, whether it's loss of job, losing loved ones. Folks, when we have a peace and we rejoice, the lost world, they can't figure that out. All they know is, I don't know what they've got, but I want it. We need to let people see Christ in us in our trials. We need to remember they're watching. And the last point is point three. God wants us to remember this too shall pass. I want you to turn to Revelation 21 verse 4. Now I gotta tell you, this verse, if I had seven top verses in the Bible, this verse would be in the top seven. Revelation 21 says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Man, I'm so glad our quartet did that, No Tears in Heaven. I was just grinning from ear to ear thinking, this fits perfect. Who is he talking about? He's going to wipe out every tear from their eyes. It's the believers, the ones that trusted him as their Savior. Now, let's let this verse just soak in a little bit. Verse 4 again. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have what? Passed away. Let's look at that. There's not going to be any more sorrow. Do you know we're not going to have to worry about paying any more taxes? We're not going to have to worry about paying any more bills? There won't be any more political commercials? And there sure won't be any more COVID-19. I figured the amen would be bigger on that. Okay, that's all right though. We'll keep going. I want my senior adults to look at these two words. There's not going to be any crying, and there won't be any more pain. Folks, we can kiss Arthur goodbye. And I'm talking about arthritis. We can kiss those terminal diseases. And everything else that causes us pain, we can just kiss it goodbye. But the word I like the best in here is there's not going to be any more death. I couldn't help as I thought about this. Brother Doug, you're going to get to see your parents again. Kelly, you're going to get to see your parents again. I'm going to get to see my parents again. Not only that, every believer that has trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, we're going to be reunited with them on that glad reunion day. We're going to be with them forever and ever and ever and ever and never, never, never have to worry about being separated from again. Amen. That makes you happy, folks. Now, I want us to go back to that third point. Remember, this too shall pass. Remember, sometimes we get too caught up in this life. But folks, we're just passing through in this life. We're going to spend eternity in one of two places. Heaven or hell. And it's your choice there. I want to tell you, I look forward to that great reunion day, but now, while we live on this earth, we must rejoice in our trials. Tonight, I want to ask you two questions. First, how do you react to trials? Don't you think about that? The trials that's going in your life, how do you react? The second question I want to ask, how are you reacting with this COVID-19 pandemic? You know, a lot of times we have a lot of negativity, but God wants us to rejoice in this. And I want to share with you three things. I'm on the mission committee, and I've listened to a lot of missionary reports. Well, I was really encouraged. About 2 weeks ago, Scott Borland, he's a missionary that's just started a new point in Hope, Indiana. And they had just got a storefront, a place that they could start having worship services. And they just started their services. They had a total of 9 coming. And all of a sudden, the middle of, I think, March, it's when the governor shut everything down. But you know, within a couple of weeks, they started having services in their parking lot. And guess what? They were already running in the 20s. A couple weeks later, the governor lifted restrictions. They were able to worship, and they were still in the 20s. Scott was rejoicing in this pandemic because his attendance had tripled within a month. And you know something else? It didn't stop there. 2 weeks ago today, he had four people join his church. Three of them came for baptism. One trusted Jesus as their Savior, and they were going to be baptized. And he was rejoicing over that. And then, to make it even better, another one trusted Christ the next night. Folks, Scott Borland is rejoicing in this pandemic. As I was reading mission reports, there's a missionary in South America. And he said, when this pandemic hit, it shut down our services. But we started live streaming. We started putting our services on YouTube, on Facebook. And guess what? People that didn't even set foot in our church have told me they're watching our services. And the same thing's happening with your service, brother. Well, it's our service. You know? But the third one that really uplifted me. I have a friend named Carl. I just wish I could be a tenth of what that guy is. He is the real track machine. This guy goes everywhere passing out gospel tracts and telling people how they can get saved. And he and some of his friends felt led to go to Louisiana because a couple of weeks ago the pandemic was really bad there. So he and his friends went and started passing out tracts. And folks, this past week, I rejoiced when I read his report. He said, folks, guess what? People are scared in Louisiana. They're looking for answers. We have passed out more tracts than we've ever passed out. Only few have told us no. People are looking for answers and we're giving them Jesus. See, Carl's rejoicing in the pandemic. Again, I want to ask you, are you rejoicing in your trials? Are you rejoicing in this pandemic? It's my prayer that we'll all realize people are watching us and that we'll rejoice. And I've asked Sister Beth to come and sing a song that means a lot to me. God wants to hear you sing.
And tight down at the jail that night, still Paul and Silas would not be dismayed. They said, it's time to lift our voice, sing praises to the Lord. Let's prove that we will trust Him come what may. God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts surround you and despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man has spoken, said your circumstance is as hopeless as can be. That's when God wants to hear you sing. Oh, He loves to hear our praise on those cheerful days when the good times outweigh the bad by far. But when suffering comes along and we still sing in songs, that's when we bless the Father's heart. God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts surround you and despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice. When the wisest man has spoken, said your circumstance is as hopeless as can be, that's when God wants to hear you sing. God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing around you and the fiery darts around you and despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man has spoken, said your circumstance is as hopeless as can be. That's when God wants to hear you sing. God wants to hear.